Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 7 to 9, Text 23 to 31. Lord Balaram goes on pilgrimage. So we'll do 23 responsively and then the rest together. Sabhima Duryodhanayur Dadabhyam Yudhyator Mride Varayishyam Vinashanam Jagama Yarunandana Sabhima Duryodhanayur Dadabhyam Yudhyator Mride Parayishyan Manashanam Jagama Yarunandana Sabhima Duryodhanayur Dabhyam Yudhyator Mride Varayishyan Vanashanam Jagama Yarunandana. Sabhima Duryodhanaya Dadabhyam Yudhyator Mride Varayishyan Vanashanam Jagama Yarunandana Sabhima Duryodhanaya Dadabhyam Yudhyator Mride Varayishyan Vinashanam Jagama Yarunandana Sabhima Duryodhanaya Dadabhyam Yudhyator Mride Varayishyan Vinashanam Yagama Yarunandana. Apologies. Sabhima Duryodhanaya Dadabhyam Yudhyator Mride Varayishyan Vinashanam Jagama Yarunandana. Saha, he Lord Balaram, Bhima Duryodhanayo, Bhima and Duryodhana, Dadabhyam, with clubs, Yudhyato, who were fighting, Mridhe, on the battlefield, Varyayishyan, intending to stop, Vinashanam, to the battlefield, Jagama, went, Yadu, of the Yadus, Nandana, the beloved son, Lord Balaram. Translation. Wanting to stop the club fight, then raging between Bhima and Duryodhana on the battlefield, Lord Balaram went to Kurukshetra. Text 24, and we could do together. Yudhishthira stutam drishva Yamo Krishna Arjuna Api Abhivadya Bhavam Stushnim Kim Vishvasurigata. Translation. When Yudhisthira, Lord Krishna, Arjuna, and the twin brothers Nakula and Sahadev saw Lord Balaram, they offered him respectful obeisances, but said nothing, thinking, what has he come here to tell us? Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, the reason why they were silent was Lord Balaram was somewhat affectionate toward Duryodhana. And Duryodhana had learned from Balaramji the art of fighting with a club. Thus, when the fighting was going on, King Yudhisthira and the others thought that Balaram might have come there to say something in favor of Duryodhana, and therefore they remained silent. Text 25. Gadapani Ubaudrishva Samrada Vijayashino Mandalani Vichitrani Charanta Vidamabravit. Lord Balaram found Duryodhana and Bhima with clubs in their hands, each furiously striving for victory over the other as they circled about skillfully. The Lord addressed them as follows. Yovam tulya balau virau, he rajan he vrikodara, ekam pranadikam monye, utaikam sikshayadikam. Translation. Lord Balaram said, King Duryodhana and Bhima, listen. You two warriors are equal in the fight and prowess. I know that one of you has greater physical power, while the other is better trained in technique. Purport. Bhima was physically more powerful, but Duryodhana was more advanced in terms of technique. Text 27. Tasmarika tarashida yovayo samavirayo nalakshya chetan virama apalunam. Since you are so evenly matched in fighting prowess, I do not see how either of you can win or lose this duel. Therefore, please stop this useless battle. 28. Natad vakyam jagrihatur bhadavirao nipatavat anushmaranta vanyonyam. Translation. Sukadev Goswami said, they did not accept Lord Balaram's request, O King, although it was logical, for the mutual enmity was irrevocable. Each of them constantly remembered insults and injuries he had suffered from the other. 29. Dishtam tadanu manvanu ramo dwaravatim yayo ugrasenadhibi prete Janti bi samupagata. Concluding that the battle was the arrangement of fate, Lord Balaram went back to Dwarka. There he was greeted by Ugrasena and his other relatives, who were all delighted to see him. Purport. Srila Vishnu Nath Chakravarti explains that the word Dishtam, fate, indicates that the battle between Bhima and Duryodhana had been enjoined by Lord Krishna and set into motion by him. Text 30. Tam punar naimisham praptam rishayo yajan muda katva angam pratibhisharvir nivrita kila vigraham. Translation. Later Lord Balaram returned to Naimisharanya, where the sages joyfully engage him, the embodiment of all sacrifice, and they performing various kinds of Vedic sacrifice. Lord Balaram was now retired from warfare. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, when Lord Balaram went to the holy place of pilgrimage in Naimisharanya, the sages, saintly persons and brahmanas all receive him standing. They understood that Lord Balaram, although a Kshatriya, was now retired from the fighting business. The Brahmanas and the sages, who were always for peace and tranquility, were very pleased at this. All of them embraced Balaram with great affection and induced him to perform various kinds of sacrifices in that sacred spot of Naimisharanya. Actually, Lord Balaram had no business performing the sacrifices recommended for ordinary human beings. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he himself is the enjoyer of all such sacrifices. As such, his exemplary action in performing sacrifices was only to give a lesson to the common man, to show how one should abide by the injunction of the Vedas. And the last verse, Tebhyo Vishudam Viganam Bhagavan Vyatarad Vibhu Yenaivat Atmani Yato Vishvam Atmanam Vishvatam Vidu. Translation. The all-powerful Lord Balaram bestowed upon the sages pure spiritual knowledge by which they could see the whole universe within him and also see him pervading everything. Om Gyana Tirmanisya Gyananjana Shalakaya Satchum Tanyena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Now Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutle Srimati Bhaktivinoda Swami Namah. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachayana. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchata Deshatayana. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Daita Gadada Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so this is one of the most interesting, or these are some of the most interesting verses here, in the sense that we have been waiting for this fight for a very long time. This is considered the epitome of fights between Duryodhana and Bhimasena. It might be called the fight of the century. You know, like most of you must have seen fights before, you know, or waiting to. Maybe not the ladies so much really, but the men, I know. I used to like to see fights. So this will be quite interesting. But before we go to that, I'd like to briefly recap Balaram's pilgrimage. Balaram, after he realized that that Lord Krishna would be taking part in the Kurukshetra war, and he'd be siding the Pandavas, he did not want to take part. Duryodhana is a student, or was a student, and so he would have liked to take his side, but at the same time, his brother on the other side. So he cannot fight against Krishna. And he did not want to support the war in some ways, so he decided to go on pilgrimage. And this was good in a lot of ways, so that Lord Krishna can do his acts. So Balaram left Prabhas. Prabhas is the shore, on the shore of the western coast of Bharatvarsha. And he traveled to Saraswati, Yamuna, Ganga. There were many holy places there. Then he went across to Magadha, to Gaya. Then he went around. He went to where Parshuram was staying. What's the name of that place? Anybody remember? It's called Mahendra, the Mahendra Hills. And Parshuram was staying there. If you could remember, Parshuram is one of the incarnation of the Lord. But he actually came at the beginning of Satyug, Dwarpa, Treta Yug. So Parshuram was very, very old. From Treta Yug to the end of Dwarpa Yug. This is now the end of Dwarpa Yug, the beginning of Kali Yug. And Parshuram was living all that time. So imagine how many years. It would have been 1,296 plus 864,000, almost 2 million years, Parshuram lived for. And so Balaram went and met him there. Then he went further south, where the place where Lord Rama had built a bridge towards Lanka. He gave away 10,000 cows in charity. Then he went to Kanyakumari. He went to the Malaya Hills. The Malaya Hills, if you could remember, there's one special sage was staying there, Agastya Rishi. Agastya was also very, very old because he took place in the churning of the milk ocean. He actually helped the demigods then. So Agastya was also very, very old, and Lord Balaram met him. One time, the Himavat, the Himalayan mountain, and the Vindhya mountain, they were in competition in the sense that the Himavat, the Vindhya was a little envious of the Himalayas because Lord Shiva had married Parvati. Parvati was the daughter of the Himalayas, right? And so Vindhya had wanted also a son-in-law. But anyhow, the Vindhya was growing very high, and it was racing to grow with the Himalayas. And so it was blocking the path of the sun. And so the sages requested Agastya Muni to stop this growth of the mountain. So he told Vindhya that, look, I want to cross you. You have to stop growing. And only when I return, then you can continue to grow. And so Agastya crossed over the Vindhya mountain and went to the South India. And he was residing in the Vindhya hills here. But he never returned towards the North. And so the Vindhya mountain stopped growing also. Now the Vindhya mountain is like a hill. See? So that was significant of Agastya Muni, and Lord Balaram met him also. And then he continued his journey. Kanyakumari is a place where Lord Mother Durga resides. And also that is considered the tip of Bharatvarsha. Bharatvarsha starts from the north, from the Himavat, and it ends at the Kanyakumari. See? Now it's called Cape Comoran. Who said that? Yeah, Cape Comoran. Yeah. And so that's interesting. And then he went through the south. He stayed at Dandaka, the Dandaka forest for a little while, and places that Lord Ramachandra went, and then he went back to Prabhas. So he traveled thousands of miles. It stated that the coast of Bharatvarsha is over 4,000 miles. So he traversed all that path, went back to Prabhas, heard from the sages that all the kings were killed in the Mahabharata war. So that was okay, because the burden of the earth, that was the purpose of the war, actually, to vanquish all the puffed up kings and so forth. And so, but he heard his students were taking part in a battle there. So from Prabhas to Kurukshetra, it's a great distance. It's almost over 600 miles. And so he traveled immediately. After he went through all that whole pilgrimage, he immediately went there. And he decided to go and to stop this fighting. He says, This is not good, both of you. So he met them. He said, "Hey, Rajan," that is to Duryodhan. "Hey, Rajan," he's called the king. "Hey, Bhimasena, stop this useless war. Both of you are equal in the sense, Bhimasena is very, very strong, but Duryodhan is very skillful. And so with the great strength and the skills, the two of them, when they come together, they'll be like an equal match." And so he said, "I'll stop it." But it stated that the hurt between the two of them was so deep-rooted, there was nowhere for them to stop, even at offending their guru, the martial guru. But And so they continued the fight. But it's stated here, it was fate, their destiny. But Srila Chakranath, Vishwanath Chakravarti stated that all this was enjoined by Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna set this in motion and he wanted this to take place. So they all wanted to see this fight now. Lord Krishna, he's the Supreme Lord. He wants to see a good fight too. the Lord would want to see a fight also. I mean, he's the Lord, he's a person. And this is the greatest of fights. And then you had Yudhishthira there, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadeva, see? And all the Panchalas and the Draparas and so many people. They were not killed by Ashwatthamas yet, so they were already there. And there must have been a big crowd there, also Brahmanas and so forth. And so they were there to see this fight. But it stated that I would like to go through the hurt that these two guys went through. I mean, it's an understatement to say that Duryodhana hurt them. Duryodhana mutilated them, their feelings. The devotees of the Lord, the Pandavas were the great devotees of the Lord. But Duryodhana was so atrocious, so vindictive, so humiliating, that it was astounded, appalling to hear. Both he and Bhima born on the same day. Bhima was mightier. Bhima actually took birth to curb the pride of the puffed up Kshatriyas. When Bhima was a baby, Kunti Devi was sitting on a mountain peak. Not a peak, but she was sitting on a mountain, and suddenly she saw a tiger, and immediately she jumped. And as she jumped, Bhimasena fell from her arm and rolled down the mountain. And his head hit a rock at the bottom of the mountain. And do you know what happened? He shattered the rock to pieces. Bhimasena was a baby. He was a baby. And when he fell on that rock, the rock shattered to 100 pieces. Imagine, he was so powerful. And when Duryodhana was born, immediately he started to bray like an ass. Immediately. Imagine, so you could see the contrast between the two of them. See? And Vidura told Dhritarashtra and Bhishma, they said, this boy would be the ruin, with the cause of the ruin of the whole Kuru dynasty. Y'all should get rid of him immediately. But Dhritarashtra was too attached to him. See, he was too attached to him, and so he couldn't let go of Duryodhana. But of course, we know that Duryodhana had a greater role too, because he was a portion of Kali, and he would bring about this whole Mahabharat war. He would bring about the whole war so that all these demoniac kings and so would be killed. See? So that was his role in the thing. But in terms of his humiliation, it was terrible. First, the Pandavas, they were in the forest because Pandu was coarse and they grew up with the sages. But when, after Pandu died, they went to Hastinapur under the guidance of Bhishma Dev. See? Because Yudhishthira would have been the rightful king coming up, because he was older than all of them. He was older than Duryodhana and everyone else. So the sages advised them to go to Hastinapur. They went to Hastinapur. But then what happened? Bhimasena was so powerful, really, that when he would play with the boys, he would hurt them badly. Not intentionally, but he would, you know, when he played with them, sometimes they'd be swimming, he would hold like 12 of them one time and go down under the water, and then he would come up. But he could stay long on the water and the other guys couldn't, so they were almost drunk, you know? And so all this was taking place when they were fighting, you know, they would get hurt badly. But he did not really meant to do that, but because he was so strong. It was like an elephant fighting with a puppy or something. A baby elephant fighting with a little dog. You see, it's no match really. Just the swinging of its tusk would hurt. So Bhimasena would hurt them badly, but he did not intend to do that. But Duryodhana was getting angrier and angrier. And so before the Pandavas came, he was thinking he would be the real king. You see? And so he wanted to be the king. And after this happened, then Duryodhana decided to plot. Well, I have to get rid of Bhimasena. And so one day they went to the beach and he poisoned his food. See, Bhimasena took it, and then he laid unconscious, and then he tied him up, threw him into the Ganges. And we know the story there, the snakes bit him, and he was taken to Varuna's kingdom. Varuna gave him a pot of jar, which made him gave him the strength of 10,000 elephants. So when he came out, he was even stronger, much stronger. And then another time, Duryodhana would try to poison him again, but because he was so strong, the poison did not take effect on him. And his body became immune to the poison also. See? So that took place there. But as we know that as time went on, Duryodhana humiliated them in so many ways. Later on, he would build a palace made of wax, very combustible. And so when Duryodhana went there, when the Pandavas were sent there on vacation, and they set it on fire. But they were tipped off. Vidura sent someone to notify them, and they escaped easily. So that had happened, and then the Pandavas, they were traveling the forest, and so Arjuna got with Draupadi. We know the whole scene there. And then later on the gambling match took place, and then he humiliated Draupadi, sent them to the forest again for 13 years. So all this humiliation was pent up in the Pandavas, especially Bhimasena. Bhimasena vowed to break his ties and so forth. We know the story that when Gandhari was going to cast her glance at him and make him immune to mace and everything, to the fight, make his body like an iron, see? And so Lord Krishna knew that, and Lord Krishna anticipated. So as soon as Duryodhana was going naked to see Gandhari, Lord Krishna appeared and he said, "Hey, Duryodhana, where are you going naked? Where are you going in the nude?" And so Duryodhana immediately grabbed something and covered his waist. You see? And so otherwise, Bhimasena could not have broken his waist. You see? But because Lord Krishna knew that the austerity of Gandhari was so powerful that when she looked at Duryodhana, Duryodhana's body became like steel. You see? And so Lord Krishna allowed his waist to become weakened. And so that happened. But also Duryodhana was practicing for Bhima for the 13th year. While they were in exile, he had a statue, an iron statue made of Bhimasena. And he was ponging at it. Waiting that when Bhima come back this 13th year, he gonna smash him to pieces. So all this was taking place there, and this fight is ready now to happen. You know? This fight is ready to happen. It's like Muhammad Ali and Foreman rumbling in the jungle. Much bigger than that, much greater, but you almost have heard about that. Rumbling in the jungle. And so the fight came, and Lord Balaram is going to stop it now. Imagine that. This is the greatest fight on earth that's going to take place, and Lord Balaram is going to stop it. And so the will of Krishna, Krishna says, this is not going to happen. And so he, Balaram realized that they would not listen, and he left and went away. And then the fight would take place. And we know what happened. They fought for a long time. And then, because Duryodhana's body was like steel from the glands of Gandhari, then nothing was happening. Bhimasena was fighting with all his might. They were very skillful. They were moving around, you know, different ways. I mean, if you all see martial arts and stuff, you see these guys are moving around and moving with a mace, and then, see, and hitting one another real hard. Nothing was happening. Bhimasena was saying, well, what's going on here? And then Arjuna said to Lord Krishna, it seems like Bhima is not able to conquer Duryodhana. What's going to happen? Lord Krishna says that the only weak place of Duryodhana is his thigh. See? Then Arjuna got a piece of twig and he broke it like this, showing Bhimasena. See? And I'm trying to remember if he actually hit his thing, you know. But we have to remember too, Duryodhana was coarse in many ways. When Maitreya Muni was speaking to Duryodhana, Duryodhana was laughing and hitting his thighs. And Maitreya coerced him, that you don't regard a sage and you're so arrogant, those would be broken in battle by Bhimasena. So that was one course. When Duryodhana was humiliating them also, when took Draupadi to the arena, they were trying to strip her naked. You all know the story. Lord Krishna supplied the sari. He was hitting his thigh and laughing again. And Bhimasena says, I'm going to break that thigh in battle one day. You see? And so Bhima had made a vow to break the thigh. Maitri had caused him to break the thigh also. And so that was destined. And Lord Krishna had also weakened his thigh, you know, by him covering that part with you know, covering it when Gandhari glanced at him. So it was destined to happen. But as a fighter, because as a fighter, you're not supposed to hit below the navel or below the belt, you may say. You see? But all this was already destined. So Arjuna hit his legs and gave him a sign that you have to do. And Bhima saw this. And Bhima was taking aim, Bhima was waiting, and Duryodhana was moving, jumping high up and stuff. And as soon as he did his high jump, Bhimasena whacked him on the thigh, and he fell to the ground. See? And so, I mean, we may say, or people may say, moralists may say that this was a bada, but it was not. Duryodhana was so atrocious and so hurtful to the Pandavas that this had to happen, you see. And after he was hit by this, then what happened? He actually insulted Krishna. I mean, if we know the scene, he insulted Krishna. He called him the slave of Kamsa. He said, you slave of Kamsa, it was you who caused all these things and so forth. Yet, I mean, he's ready to die there, you see. So anyhow, this had taken place, and the fight took place, and he would be eventually killed. But the last point we want to bring up here is that that Lord Balaram gave up fighting. He gave up fighting. And so this is Brahminical culture is always welcome because it is non-violent. And it's welcomed by the sages. The sages actually were very happy. Samu Damas Tapa Saucham Shantir Arjavam Evacha. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, or religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the Brahmanas work. See? So now that Balaram, Lord Balaram, gave up the fighting propensity, The sages were very happy. And Srila Prabhupada wants us to develop Brahminical qualities also. Develop these qualities of peacefulness, humility, and tolerance, you see, and studying of the scriptures, and chanting of the holy names, and so on. See? So the Lord, the Srila Prabhupada wants us to do that too, to develop these Brahminical qualities, even though we're Vaishnavas. See? I mean, we're not acting as Brahmin per se, but the Vaishnavas are above Brahmin, but at least emulate all these qualities. Or these qualities actually come automatically, but we can also be a little reflective on having them. See? Because these are always good qualities. Be very humble, even humble to those that are aggressive towards us, so forth. So I'll stop here. If there's any comment or question, I know we're all ready to go to that parade today. All of you should try to come and support it. Okay, so Srimad Bhagavatam ki.